Her name was Ruby, and she was one of my hospice patients. When I was doing my hospice chaplaincy work 2 years ago, Ruby and her husband Don, both on hospice, became two of my regular weekly visits. Don had pretty advanced dementia, so I would often have a brief conversation about baseball or golf or college football. And they tended to be circular conversations, so I got pretty quickly understood that when he asked me where I was from, that was the prompt as to what sort of sport we were going to talk about. So if I explained to him that I was raised in Southern California, Dodger baseball, and off we went. The 1970s was a great era of Dodger baseball. And then I would finish my conversation with Don, and I would sit down and spend some time talking with Ruby. I quickly figured out that my visits might theoretically be for Don because of his dementia, but in actuality, it was Ruby that needed someone to talk to. And Ruby had the best stories. She grew up on a farm in Minnesota with her father, who was a traveling Lutheran pastor. She used to laugh and say, "Yep, Whitney, it was just like Little House on the Prairie." She raised her kids in Danville and told me stories about the way things used to be. Travels, family. But the one thing she loved to talk about was her job. She had been a nurse in Oakland at John Muir and had delivered, by her count, hundreds of babies. She was very proud of being a nurse and had loved this work. And I made a mistake with my visits, or at least I did not take the advice of my chaplain advisor. He had advised me at the beginning of my work, don't get emotionally involved with your hospice patients. Be there for them, listen to them, pray for them, but don't share your own stories of your own self. Hospice work can be very hard in its nature of end-of-life care. We all know how the story ends. And you quickly burn out if you become emotionally involved in your patients' lives. This experience came back to me as I was reading the text for this week in preparation for this sermon. Yes, we are once again talking about money. Certainly, Jesus talked about money and wealth a lot in his parables and his teachings. And the church, rather conveniently, gathered them all together for the month of October to get us ready for stewardship and planning for our next year's financial plans. So that's where we are today. Well, our gospel, though, today has a little bit more to it. This young man has stopped Jesus on the street, and he is earnest, and he is intentional, and he wishes to ask Jesus for his advice. And he asks him, "What must I do to receive eternal life? Or, what must I do to come closer to God? Or, what must I do to follow you, Jesus?" These are all the same questions, only asked in different ways. Jesus had a fairly straightforward answer. Follow these commandments. Lists them out, very straightforward. And I can see the young man nodding his head. Yep, did that, yep, did that, yep, did that. And Jesus seems to agree with the young man's assessment. And then he gives him the zinger. Give away all that you own. Pretty strong instructions from Jesus. So I suppose as a hospice chaplain, I was not really following the practical and sage advice that had been given to me. I didn't really follow the instructions. By about mid-December, I was on my regularly scheduled visit, and I found Ruby in a lot of pain that day. As a nurse, she could tell me exactly what was hurting and why she did not agree with the in-house nurse's assessment. She did not feel it was an allergic reaction on her face. She didn't feel like she was having some irritant to something. She could tell me about the pain in her cheek that went down her neck and into her shoulder and even down into her back. She knew that something was wrong. I am not medically trained at all, but I trusted Ruby. I told her I would find someone to help her. I first went to visit the on-site nurses, and they explained what they had observed. And then I went outside, and I called the hospice doctor, and I called the hospice nurse, and I called the head chaplain to see what we could do. Fortunately, the hospice nurse was in the area and came later that day to visit Ruby and took Ruby to the ER. She was in the hospital for my next visit because that rash was actually shingles and had spread across her face and into her eyes. I visited her once more a week later after that, and I had to go see her in her bed this time. She wasn't sitting in her favorite chair by the window. She smiled at me and thanked me for coming. She looked so very small at that moment in her bed, but her smile was warm, and I felt blessed to be able to pray with her one last time. She died later that week, and when I got the call, I cried. Exactly what my chaplain advisor had warned me about. I had become too emotionally involved. You see, over the past couple of months, I had let my guard down. I had left myself vulnerable and open as I connected with Ruby during our visits. And it was painful, and it was joyful. I know now, even with my heartbreak, I was exactly where God needed me to be. And this is what I hear from Jesus in today's gospel. Mark identifies Jesus as a teacher, but as a different kind of teacher. In Mark's gospel, Jesus is a doer. He's not lecturing and talking only, but rather one who teaches through his examples. And Jesus is teaching us through doing. You see, Jesus was not just lecturing to this young man, not just offering impossible challenges. Jesus loved him. The word that Mark uses in the gospel for this kind of love, in Greek, only shows up once in this reading. And it depicts a love between two humans. It's a deep kind of love, and Jesus holds this around this young man. I imagine it's a love filled with compassion and pity and hope. Jesus loves him even if he can't commit to Jesus fully, because love can be hard. Jesus loves but doesn't change the young man's heart. I loved and I couldn't change the outcome for my hospice patient. Jesus knows that. Jesus spoke to the man with love and hope and didn't make the decision for him. Jesus didn't offer him an easy out, or even allow him some kind of excuse. Jesus spoke the truth with love and let the young man decide which path he was going to take. It is this kind of this dance where we give things up and we gain things. We lose things and we win things, and our heart breaks and then it's mended back together, and we eventually come out on the other side. I realize now, looking back, I had to make my own decision about my relationship with Ruby. I had to give up some things, but I gained so much more. And I know in the end that I did exactly the right thing. So clearly this gospel is talking about giving up wealth. But our wealth also comes with ego and social position and power and a sense of scarcity in what we don't have. And I believe that Jesus is speaking to all of this when he tells us that we need to let it go. I'm not suggesting that you go out and sell all your belongings, but I challenge you to think about what might be keeping you from following Jesus. As Jesus reminds us, all things are possible with God, which means that we are responsible for finding the roadblocks and the barriers that we have put in the way of drawing closer to the holy. Because love demands something. It is a gift that you have to make room for. It takes up a lot of room in our life, in our commitments, in our priorities, and in our heart. And Jesus knows this. He knows what he is asking is not easy or quick or a light demand. And all things are possible with God. In a wonderful circle of life way, some biblical scholars suggest that we do get to see this young man once more in the gospel. In the 14th chapter of Mark's gospel, a young man is mentioned being seen in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus is arrested. The authorities try to grab him, but he runs off, leaving his only garment, a linen around his waist, in the garden. So did the young man actually become a follower of Jesus in the end? Had he given away all of his belongings? Was he heartbroken when Jesus was crucified the next day, only to have his heart mended back together when he learned of Jesus' resurrection? Did he learn from the good teacher, by Jesus' example, how to love? With God, all things are possible. Amen.